Toucher.
Oh my God.
And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. I like doing that because it gets people's Alexas going. Or you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, Rich, Easter Sunday at the Gemelli household was something to behold.
Yep, everyone having a good time, hanging around and kicking back and enjoying maybe a few adult beverages. And at one point, Nick's dad, our own Nick Gemelli, his father starts talking about the show, and so Nick goes, "Hey, can we kind of record this and put this on the air?" And he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. And yesterday, I likened this to, you know how when you are first getting into radio, you have to have that uncomfortable meeting and where you sit down and they go over your tape and they do an air check and they're honest about how you sound on the air. Well, this is what we're getting right here. This is the honest, unfiltered opinion of
Marshfield Zone. Marshfield Zone.
That's right. Marshfield Zone. Intern Nick's father. Let's take a listen.
All right, here we go.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can use it for the radio.
Oh, my Lord.
It's mini-me. Nick is mini-me. He sounds just like his father.
No, Nick sounds like Barry White compared to his father. I mean, Nick is coming in there with the bass.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can use it for the radio.
What's your name?
My name is Mark Chimel.
You can hear the ice clanking.
What was your name?
My name is Mark Gemelli.
Mark Gemelli?
Mark Gemelli, I think he's saying.
Well, it sounds more like Mark Gemelli.
It's Mark Gemelli.
Mark. Yeah.
Well, that's why they call me Kodzi.
We need to get Kodzi and Mark Gemelli.
Yes, we do it together.
My name is Mark Gemelli.
You're my father, right?
As far as DNA tests go, yes.
You were just talking to me about the guys on the show and everything, specifically about John Wallach.
Nicest guy in the world. Always got a smile on his face. Always seems happy.
John Wallach?
Yes.
Is that the only reason why you like John Wallach?
I like that big head he has.
What is he talking about?
I think it'll be revealed to you in a second what he means. Right. You'll find out in a minute what that means.
If it's because of the John Wallach major head that we carry around, what an odd thing to like about someone.
I like the picture of him.
I like the big picture of his face.
I like that big head he has that you carry all around.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Thank you.
He always seems to have a great personality. The only thing he knows about you is that head. Because you got a smile on it and everything
else. That's it.
Keep it in the back seat of your car. You show people. You must think a lot of the guy to carry his head around.
The Wallach head.
Yes, the Wallach head.
Do you have any other thoughts about John Wallach?
I think the best skit of all skits was when they were waking him up with the birds out of California.
That's good.
Wake Up Wallach?
Wake Up Wallach was one of my favorite moments.
What about the other guys on the show?
I love Bird.
Of course you do. His son's chief competition, you see, for his position.
The guy that basically does the same job that he does, his son does, but he likes apparently this guy better.
Yeah, it's a miracle. I can't put the pieces together as he would like Bird so much.
Bird's the kid I never had, Nick. You hipster beard.
What about the other guys on the show?
I love Bird. I love that Bird. He's a great guy. He does Everett proud.
Why do you like birds so much?
Oh, you can tell Nick's a little...
This could go the wrong way.
Yeah, Nick doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. That's the competition right there.
Why do you like birds so much?
I think the two of you fighting with swords was fantastic. You dressed as a frog?
I'm feeling Mr. Gemelli sometimes. under the influence.
My name is Mark Cimelli.
You were dressed as a frog.
I said, Nick Schur just said, no, that never happened.
Yeah.
Just rock his world.
No, I was a dragon.
Oh, I thought you were a green frog.
As opposed to...
All right, what about Rich? What do you think about Rich?
Rich is a kind soul, a great guy.
How about Fred?
Fred looks fantastic. He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done. Fred keeps getting younger every year on the show.
That's not what you were saying earlier.
No, I asked earlier if he had that laser nip and tuck. I was thinking of it for myself, to tell you the truth.
It's cool sculpting, Dr. Right, Russo.
It's right. Working, apparently.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
No, that's not what you were saying about Fred. You feel like he...
What, he antagonizes you?
He's an antagonizer. That's what you were saying.
Well, I think he gets short-tempered with people. He doesn't like foolishness.
He just called his son a fool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he doesn't like foolishness.
That's right. Well, he antagonizes you. He doesn't like foolishness.
Yeah,
right.
Shut up, Nick. Sure.
Right. So stop being a fool.
Yeah, you dumb fool.
Well, I think he gets short-tempered with people. He doesn't like foolishness. Hey, Fred's father watches Fox. I watch Fox, you know?
Explains a lot.
When Fred explains or talks about his father on the phone, I think he's talking about me.
Oh, so you see yourself as a father figure to Fred?
Well, I see, yeah, in many ways.
You know, we've not met, but he is a mentor. You're the son he never had.
You're the son I always wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the one I got.
Yeah, not a lot of praise on Nick.
No. It seems to be going out of his way to describe how many other guys he'd like other than Nick.
In fairness, this is a lot like my father. If you were to ask him what he liked, he would spend 5 minutes going after me.
I've watched these guys evolve from not being parents to now being parents.
Yep.
Not having children and now having children and doing all their activities.
You know they're in their 40s, right?
They're babies.
They're babies?
I had socks older than 40, for God's sakes.
How old are you?
I was 63 the other day.
Now you're 64?
No.
No, of course not. Come on, no foolishness. 63 the other day. Were you 64? No. No.
Now you're 64?
No.
I was 63 the other day.
I turned 63 the other day.
Okay. All right, Dad. Jesus Christ. So, any other complaints about
you're
Fred?
You're asking me hard questions.
You know? I'm not asking you any hard questions.
I hold each one of those guys in the highest... spot you can hire. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, do you have any critiques? I'm looking for critiques here.
Critiques? Yeah, bring back Playmate Crystal, will you?
Jeez. Oh, my God. What's your drink count?
All right. I guess, should we guess?
Oh, we didn't get to this all yesterday. Right.
What is the all drink right. count? Okay.
Okay.
It's got ice in it. So you got to remember.
Oh, that's right. That extends it out a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's drinking Löwenbräu. It sounds like there's some ice in it. I would say that he's drinking something mixed with cola. And I'm going to say this is number 5.
I'm going to say his answer is a couple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be specific.
See, I was going to say 4, so I'll stick with 4.
All right, I'm saying 5.
Okay.
And there's something like rum and cokes or something.
Okay.
What's your drink count?
This ain't drunken recap, Nick. Bird is just, you know, everybody wants to have Bird's life.
Whoa! Whoa! Everyone wants to be 39 and living in their parents' in the bedroom that they grew up in.
Right.
Working part-time at a radio station.
Be a townie nomad.
This is just wandering from house to house, sleeping okay. on couches. Yeah, going over to the health food shop and chopping up bananas. This is
it's called living free, Fred.
That's right. Can you imagine that? Yeah, he's a real Hugh Hefner type.
Just like he's saying about Nick's like ultimate competition. Everyone's his life. What do you got?
He's like Elon Musk. Without any money or innovation or smarts. Or success. Richard Branson eats your heart out.
Ah, Bird. Bird is just, you know, everybody wants to have Bird's life. It's just great.
You know, he lives at home.
I wish you did.
No. Oh. A condo. I'm all set.
Yeah.
Did he buy a condo in real life?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he ended up getting
one. According to Nick, he has. Yeah. He's moving out of his friend's place. He's got his own spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at that.
My name is Mark Cimelli.
We have to have Mark review some other things.
Yeah, we should.
I just love how he didn't even talk about his son the entire time. It's about everyone else.
I love Bird. That Bird is great.
I love Bird.
Well, at the end, he said that he wished that Nick lived at home.
That's true.
He did.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that is very sweet of him.
It's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Woo! 98.5 The Sports Hub, we are Kutcher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. Did you guys hear what Jim Mora, coach of UCLA, said about Josh Rosen?
You know what? I saw the headlines. What was he saying? Because I know that like apparently it's scaring teams away.
Well, yeah. Not if he has Josh McDaniels. It's not scaring teams away. But this is idiotic. Rosen might have a million problems, and he sucked. I think he was 10-15 his last 2 years at UCLA. But his coach, Jim Mora, who obviously has no blame in any of that, he just had a quarterback who could go to number one in the draft. But
he couldn't do anything with him.
He couldn't do anything with him.
Couldn't beat Sam Darnold. Couldn't do anything.
No,
yes.
He couldn't beat. No, but because Sam Darnold was so electric this year, he couldn't. But you have a kid that could go number one in the draft, and you have this to say about him. He needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. This is what he told Peter King. He says he's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. I find this fascinating, just that he has a lot of interest in life. And not to go to the well again, but Patricia was a rocket scientist. I imagine that there's other things in his life that, I don't know. Oh, Belichick loves history. So, I mean, Belichick doesn't sit there literally thinking about football. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what you're supposing. You're saying that someone who, to be a good quarterback, has to literally just look at football constantly. Not that rerun of the Brady Bunch. You're getting off the page here. That's too much. He needs to know why. Of course, wouldn't that make you a better learner, too?
You would think so. Look at Andrew Luck, who was reading all about those books about concrete. Remember everyone was saying he's always reading a book about something completely boring?
You know what that sounded like to me, though? It sounded like he's comparing Rosen to a guy like Rondo, who would get direction from Doc Rivers and say, I don't understand why you're doing, I'm not going to do that. I need to know specifically why you're telling me to do what you're telling me to do. That's the way I took it. I took it like Rosen with the wrong head coach would be a problem.
Well, in football, I want that. I want the quarterback not to just look at X's and O's on the screen. I want him to ask why.
No, but I guess when coaches say do something, they want the quarterback to go, this is how I read it.
Football
go do something.
But football doesn't work like that with a quarterback. You need a quarterback who can audibleize. You need a quarterback who can do a two-minute drill.
But it sounds like somebody who was questioning some of the plays he was given. That's what it sounds like, and it's his nice way of trying to say that.
No, there's nothing nice about what he says.
Well,
he says Darnold should go to Cleveland because he has an underdog mentality. So Jim Mora sucks. I would question what he was saying, too.
Yeah, he said if he can hold his concentration level of focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's a really good kid. So it's one of those things where you kind of stick the dagger in him, and then you try to hedge your bets afterwards by saying, oh, yeah, but he's a good guy.
That's the thing. This goes along with the scouting reports we've seen before. Darnold,
can make all the throws, but he's a gambler, throws into traffic a lot. Rosen apparently has all the tools, but is not solely focused on the game.
And the main thing that I'd be concerned about Rosen is his injury history. Not that he's a millennial, because guess what? You're going to be coaching millennials now. There's not 40-year-old college quarterbacks falling out of the sky. I mean, you're going to be coaching 21, 22-year-old kids. And just because you couldn't do it, Mora, doesn't mean that he can't do it.
Well,
if he can if his concentration level and focus is only on football for a few years, only on football, nothing else, just football. That doesn't even make sense.
You see, I hear those comments, but I hear them after I'd been told by a bunch of, I've read about Rosen that he has this entitlement thing going on. And I guess he's somebody that a lot of scouts are saying couldn't rally his team around him. He doesn't have that type of attitude. He's not the guy who goes in where everyone's like, I'll follow this guy to hell and back. He's just kind of somebody who goes, shows up, does his work, doesn't really say much. Then there have been successful people in that position. The entitlement thing is something that I had heard before.
Well, the entitlement thing is because his parents are rich.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, sure.
I mean, that's the entitlement issue.
Like a Manziel thing.
Because people, well, man, you can't compare the two. You can't compare the two for a lot of reasons. Is to my knowledge, Rosen's never been in trouble, and also he's a prototypical NFL quarterback. He's not 5'11 running around being a stupid first round draft pick.
But the entitlement is something that got Manziel into trouble, thinking he could get away with anything he wanted to.
Yeah, but Manziel, yeah, and Rosen hasn't done anything to my knowledge illegal. Hearing these coaches talk about these guys, well, if you don't, Josh McDaniels came out and said, would love to know how this millennial thing, when Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels essentially told Albert Breer the same thing about Tom Brady. If coaches are afraid of being challenged intellectually, it says more about them than the player. So he's comparing Tom Brady in the way that he gets ready to that of Rosen, in that he wants to know why, and that he sits there while his hands are getting rubbed by Guerrero and wants to know why. And then he goes on, Josh McDaniels, to Albert Breer. When a coach says something like what Morris said, it, quote, sounds an awful lot like shut up and dribble and stay in your lane. Maybe that was from Jim Trotter. This is what McDaniel said about Brady. He's a challenging guy to coach because his aptitude is so significant. He's a tremendous player as far as coming every day ready to work and ready to be willing to learn. That puts the best out of you as a coach. That pulls the best out of you, coach, because you can't go into the meeting room and not challenge this guy and try to get better. He's a guy, he'll go down as what he'll go down as, which is one of the greatest players to ever play this game, but he still comes into every meeting looking for something that's going to make him a better player that day. And as a coach, you have to respond accordingly, whether it's making sure you provide him with that information or you find something to help improve some aspect of his game. So basically, McDaniels is saying that Moore is a crappy coach.
Yeah, that he couldn't handle any kind of questions that were being thrown
right.
his way.
And that's exactly the thing. And I will go back to my point, which you two don't seem on board with, that to get better at something, I need to know why. It doesn't mean that I dismiss everything that you say, but it's better to dive further into the information than it is to just sit there and take it at face value.
See,
Jim Moore is a crappy coach again.
Yeah, the record bears that out. Considering the type of quarterback he has, is probably going to be a top five pick. But I read all this stuff, and I think that honestly, Rosen probably has been so good at this for so long. He's played because he's always been good. Maybe he doesn't play because he loves it. You know what I'm saying?
But how would you know that?
I don't know that. Nobody knows that.
You can't have it both ways. If he's entitled,
well, I don't agree with Rich's. I didn't read anything about the entitlement.
Yeah, that's something that's been around.
I have, but that's a really dumb argument because no one can back it up. But I've read about the entitlement too. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have it he plays just because he loves the game and he's entitled. It's one or the other.
No, he plays because he's always been good at it. Maybe he just doesn't love it. You know what I'm saying? He's always been really, really good. It got him a free ride to UCLA, and now he's on the verge of becoming a professional. I mean, you have to love the game to be a successful.
All right, then why does he question things? Why does he want to know more about him if he just is good at it and he just goes out there?
Well, isn't there a difference between questioning, okay, why are we doing this? Give me the reason so I can learn more. And I don't think we should do that. Why can't we do what I want to do?
No.
I think it's two completely different types of questions. I don't want to do what you're saying.
McDaniels just said the same thing. He said the same thing about Brady. Brady, I mean, you can disagree with a coach. And McDaniel says that Mora can't handle that.
All I know is that I've seen the movie Draft Day, and I know that you do not pick the guy who nobody goes to his birthday party. That's right.
You pick the guy you're in love with.
He's not a leader of men. We've heard that. I don't remember what that guy's name was, but
you always pick the guy that you want no matter what. Doesn't matter what your draft position is, you always take that guy.
Well, Darnold and Josh Allen certainly led their teams to glory. And Rosen might suck.
None of these quarterbacks led their team to glory.
I don't have a feeling either way. It's just I find it more as comments just like,
Well, anytime he drops millennial, you're like, all right, old man.
And then he says that Darnold should go to Cleveland because he's got a underdog mentality. And today I would say he played at USC. Underdog mentality. He went to USC.
Yeah, if you went to Wyoming, you have the underdog mentality.
Or if you went to UCLA, you have more of an underdog mentality than if you went to USC. USC is this incredible program. I just like that McDaniels blamed it on the coach.
Sure.
Good for him. We will have the headlines and we come back. I have a question for Computer Master Jim across from me. And then we will talk some Bruins.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Touch your enrich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Licked it off by McDonald. It pops on out now for Simmons. Simmons can't get out with it. Still, they poke it along off Marchand. Lifted along by McDonald. They've got it. It's Backus running front. Simmons scores! The Bruins have tied it. Bergeron!
Five, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, very impressive overtime loss by the Bruins on Sunday. They had nothing.
Yeah, they were just, I mean, they were tired. Yeah. You obviously could tell. And
Yeah, they played two games in 24 hours. They had nothing, and to tie it up with that much time left shows a resolve that is continuing to happen with them.
Well, down 3-1 with 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And they tied it.
But they've been doing that. It's like, I mean, all season long, you can't write them off no matter what the deficit is. But tonight's game is obviously very important when they're going to be taking on Tampa for the last time for basically to solidify finishing in first place. It wouldn't clinch it, but what would happen is that the Bruins would end up having 112 points to Tampa's 108. So Tampa's only got two games left, and so that means the best that Tampa could do is tie them. So if the Bruins lost everything like for the rest of the season and Tampa won their final two games, there would be tied at 112. Okay, that's where things actually get a little bit interesting, because if you're tied, then Tampa would have the edge in what is called row, R-O-W. Now, immediately I thought, okay, well, let's say the Bruins end up winning, and you've got a situation where they've swept Tampa for the whole season. You would think that it goes head-to-head, but that is not the first tiebreaker. It's R-O-W, which is, what did you say it was called?
Regulation and overtime wins.
Basically, it's wins that don't include the shootouts. And in that scenario, right now, it's 47-46 in Tampa's favor. So that's where things actually get interesting. So if they end up tying, and if for some reason the Bruins end up losing out, and Tampa ends up winning their final two games, I have not seen Tampa's schedule.
I have 46-46.
I have 46-46, too.
Yeah. Okay, I have... Well, no, that would be if the Bruins ended up winning.
Then the Bruins would have the advantage.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. If the Bruins lose...
In regulation. And not in a shootout.
I guess it would have to be that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say
if the Bruins win this game in regulation, they've all but put this thing away, and Tampa's schedule is home against Buffalo and at Carolina after this.
Okay.
So that's rather simple.
Yep, it is. So if Tampa ends up winning, then it would be a situation where in row it's 47-46.
Correct.
Okay.
If they win in regulation, that's true.
Okay.
And the Bruins have three games left. Where is it at? At Florida, not easy, against Ottawa, and then, again, the makeup game, the snow-out game against Florida on Sunday night.
That's the only game in the league,
yes,
right?
That's the one game that's made up, yes.
Okay. So, That is going to be interesting. So tonight obviously is important. Get it done. Get it out of the way. You're essentially in first place if you finish this. But it will be an interesting ending to the season if for some reason you have a situation where Tampa wins tonight.
And once
even
again,
though Stamkos, we don't know what his status
is. I was just going to say, once again,
is.
It looks like Stamkos is not going to play. John Cooper said yesterday he's questionable with what he's terming a minor lower body injury. But in the same breath, he said it's possible they could hold Stamkos out these final three games to get him ready for the playoffs.
I don't care if the Bruins finish in first place. I mean, it would be nice. I want to see him win, but I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, you've shown that you can beat Tampa Bay. You've owned them all season. People are freaking out about Toronto, but I wouldn't be that overly concerned about Toronto. I know that Toronto's had your number a little bit.
The other thing is if they lose, none of the teams that you just mentioned are going to be a desperate team down the stretch. So, I mean, it's Bruins are going to seem to...
Florida.
It's not going to be too tough.
Florida can still make the playoffs.
Florida still in?
Yeah, Florida needs this. Florida's 5 points behind New Jersey for the final wild card with four to go and a game in hand.
So they're on the edge of being knocked out,
but they still have a shot. And you could wind up playing Philadelphia. If you finish first, you could very well wind up playing Philadelphia in the first round. Philadelphia is 1 point up on New Jersey in the wild.
Now, who would you rather play, Philadelphia or Toronto? See, it's a coin flip to me.
Philadelphia was so good for about 2 months there.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter, really. Ultimately, I'd much rather be healthy.
On a whole, I'd rather play New Jersey or Florida, but, you know.
That who knows if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so that's why if they keep Stamkos out.
Now that we're here in this situation and you're 2 points up and it looks like Tampa's not going to have Stamkos tonight, I mean, I say go and get. I do care now because it's right there.
But if they keep Stamkos out with a minor injury, you know, you just said it yourself, they're keeping him out to make sure that it doesn't get any worse.
Right.
I'm resting, guys. You saw what happened to Carlo. I don't want any of that. You can't afford another loss on defense.
So you're saying start that tonight?
I know I'd manage minutes tonight. I'd rather manage minutes than I would, go full bore. And then for the rest of the season, I'd be conservative.
Either way, regardless of who you play in the first round, you're more than likely going to play Tampa in the second round as you play through your division.
Which I like playing Tampa because they've owned Tampa. The goal differential in those games is incredible. So all I want them to be is healthy. I've been saying this now for a month. All I want them is to be rested and healthy. Carlo went down because they had to start playing Char again.
Well, I asked Rich this yesterday. I'll ask you. Does Carlo going down alter your feelings about this team at all?
No, but it makes them much thinner on defense because you can put McQuaid in now.
It's one extra body that's down at Schuen. Grizzly can play, and I understand that.
And he's been playing well, too. Which
your bench is
obviously
thin, but the six you put out there, you still have full confidence.
Which is more evidence that I need to rest guys and manage minutes because I can't afford to lose another defenseman. I can't. And there's no excuse not to go into this playoffs completely healthy and rested.
Well, when you get McAvoy back, you'll have a guy you trust on the bench. Right?
Who?
Whether it be Grizzlick or whoever.
Or McQuaid.
I mean, don't forget, you're going to get McAvoy back.
I don't know. If you lose another defenseman, you're still... Well, okay, so if you lose another defenseman...
You can afford to lose one more.
Mm.
Not that that's optimal. You don't want to lose one more. But when McAvoy returns, whenever that is, whether it be Saturday, Sunday, or in game one of the first round of the playoffs, I mean, McAvoy's been skating. It seems like he's going to be back sooner rather than later.
No, McAvoy, it would be something that they play him the last couple games just to get his legs underneath
him. So you get McAvoy back this weekend, you sit Grizzlick or McQuaid or whoever you want to sit, whoever the seventh guy is.
But you lost a top four defenseman.
You have.
So
Carlo's been playing much better recently.
So my point stands, you still can't lose another defenseman. I mean, then you're you've gotten marketably worse, and you also have no depth, and you're going to get someone hurt in the playoffs. I mean, it's just going to happen. Even if they play, they're going to still play hurt. I want to manage minutes, and I want people rested. And if you even got a tweak of something, I want you sitting out.
I want them to win tonight, regardless.
Of course, I want them to win.
I want them to win tonight. Now that it's right there, they're 2 points up with 3-4 to go and a game in hand. They should do this.
And you might be put in a situation that's tougher than if you don't win. I would much rather play Toronto than I would Philadelphia right now. And that's just me. I've talked to people that are panicking about the chance of playing Toronto.
Let's pose that. We have Billy Jaffe later, right?
Yep, yeah, 9 o'clock.
There you go.
What do you think? He's
talk to the expert.
You think he's going to definitively
right.
tell you who's
he's the
to
expert
play?
On the expert hotline. You that's think, right. He's calling in on the expert hotline. It's called an expert hotline for a reason.
You think Jaffe definitively is going to say one
Absolutely.
Team or the other?
That's Billy Jaffe. You've known him for a long time. Of course he's going to give you the definitive
no,
answer.
No, he's not. He's not going to say
that.
He's not
you're saying
say
he's
going to
walk the fence? Is that what you're telling me?
Listen, John, all I know is that if you doubt the importance of tonight's game, that sucker's on Nesson Plus.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's
really?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course it
Which
is.
Which means you are going to get the highest
That's
in
right.
broadcast value.
Nesson Plus.
The production.
We need that Red Sox-Miami Marlins game 6 of the season.
The mics are just going to drop out
That's
randomly.
Right. Why yeah. the hell are they doing that?
Because of the Red Sox
Because
game.
Of the ownership of the damn network. That's why.
Yes.
But you don't care about revenue?
Correct.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Well, listen, the Marlins are a powerhouse. Everyone wants to watch Red Sox Marlins.
We just got talking about how good Miami is in the first hour of the program.
I mean, just a chock full of stars that's on right. that Marlins
so
roster.
So you're gonna put on...
Yes.
The biggest game of the season is on Nesson Plus,
but
yes.
Before the first homestand of the season.
Yes.
You're
going to
put on yep. a game against Miami.
A throwaway
over a game that can essentially clinch you first place.
Yes.
Yes, fair. They will. And you know what? It's going to be highly entertaining once we find it. once right. we find the actual chance.
We need our cable
All these years, I still have to do the scroll to find it. I can't find it.
You know, actually know what? It's right next to Nesson
on DirecTV.
It's easy to find.
It's not with me.
But I'll tell you, that audio always syncs up beautifully.
They never out of nowhere shoot it to Tom Caron in the studio as they try to flip it over from the Red Sox game and they just shuffling papers. Whenever they go to Jack and Brick, everything just runs so smoothly.
I don't think I've ever seen a game on Nesson Plus, a Bruins game, that didn't have audio issues.
Oh, well, yeah, it's like they just took people in the studio throwing things around. It's like they didn't have enough people to staff Nesson Plus, so they just grabbed like a couple interns and said, "You do it."
Mm-hmm.
And they're just pressing buttons.
I know where this button goes. Yeah.
Jesus. What a...
Get ready.
Yeah. Get ready. That's unbelievable. I know the ownership of Nesson, but I still want revenue. I still want to make money on commercials. I'm not that big an idiot that I sit back and say that people are going to be diving into this Red Sox-Miami game. Well, that's their decision, not ours. We'll be back in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Mike, who takes care of the Stanley Cup, it's an annual tradition. Hopefully, we'll be back here in a couple months. But the Stanley Cup is in studio.
April 11th. Jeez, man, that's right around the corner. That's when the playoffs begin, right?
Yep.
Wow. That is, it's funny when you actually say that. It's been so long and finally it's almost here.
It'll be snowing.
Yeah, right. The snow will still be here.
You know, it's
supposed to get another whopper on Sunday.
It'll be
so
miserable.
Snow?
No, I'm actually not kidding. It's a good possibility. They are watching
snow?
A snow for Sunday, yes.
I don't ever want to hear you give me crap for saying April is the worst month to live in New England.
We had this argument yesterday.
No, April. Because mentally you're prepared for March to suck. April, when it's snowing the first 2 weeks, enough. It's done. And you're seeing the Masters
Eric
on TV.
Eric Fisher, WBZ, went out of his
gorgeous.
Way to say that it snows 75% of the time in Boston in April.
April is the worst.
Awful.
The first 2 weeks of April is the worst. But
Mike is carrying the cup all over places. And so Canada is beautiful this time of year.
Right. It's still better than Winnipeg, no matter what you
looking
say.
At this thing.
Toronto
never.
Was nicer than Boston yesterday.
It, yeah. Well, I was in Toronto last March, and there was no snow on the ground.
Well, this is cool. So you guys are bringing the Stanley Cup around Boston. I happened to be in Boston Common during the afternoon. I didn't even know you guys were going to be there. You guys had been in studio earlier that day, and I had no idea that you guys were going to be. To see people who aren't expecting to run into the Stanley Cup, look up and just see it sitting there, like you guys had a big setup in the park, is a really cool thing to see. And in this town, we obviously lived it for that few like months after the whole run when each one of the players would be riding around. I know it was Ferentz had it in the rickshaw. You know, there's stories of people randomly looking out their window and seeing it in the back. And that is got to be a pain in the ass for you, the guy who has to stay with the cup the entire time, correct?
That is not a pain in the ass. That part's the fun part, the kind of the cool part. It never gets you never get tired of seeing the reaction, especially when you kind of set up out of the blue and just get fan reaction, like, you know, walking through a park and holy crap, the Stanley Cup is sitting there.
Sure.
You know, same thing when you talked about Andrew when he had the cup. We were riding around on his bike, and we had the rickshaws, and even the police that escorted us were on bikes because he's such an environmentalist. And again, it was really cool for people to, because everywhere we went, you could see the cup in the back of his little carriage that he had in the back of his bike, and just seeing the way the cup turns heads. And we went into an older part of Boston, and I remember the entire streets, there must have been 5,000 to 7,000, maybe 10,000 people just trying to get close to the cup. It was pretty wild to watch.
How far out of, like, I mean, I got to think there's a point where some of the guys go, hey, can I just take this over here for a moment away from where you are? Like, does it ever leave your sight? Do you ever allow it to go into a different room or away from where you can actually see it?
We have to keep our eyes on it. I mean, that's what the NHL and the Hall of Fame want us to do. And, you know, the guys are good. They're respectful. I mean, sometimes he might be able to give him a little private time, but for the most part, we got to keep our eyes on it.
Any close calls with idiots, though, like that aren't people on the team? Like, you know, sometimes they'll bring it to a restaurant or a bar, and you ever have any close calls?
Yeah, the bar thing is a little crazier now, especially with social media and everything like that. You know, if we're going to a bar with a player, we usually it's the player takes over the entire bar and has it just for his family and friends. Going in cold, the place turns into a bit of a gong show within about 10 minutes of social media.
Is there a no-no list, like places you can't bring the Stanley Cup?
Strip joints.
Really? And I take it there's guys who want to do that all the time.
Yeah, they mention it, but they know they can't do that.
No, well, no, why is there that rule?
Well, it's the respect thing. I mean, it's not the place you want to bring the Stanley Cup. I mean, we are a family game, and it's just not the kind of...
There's a problem with female nudity in the NHL? Yeah,
as well as a problem with having nudity around the Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Well, how can you stop that? I mean, at some point, there's going
to
be nudity.
Well, you can't go to the, you know, we have to stop it.
So if a player's around and a woman starts removing her clothes, you stop?
Absolutely.
You stop that from happening?
We have to, yep.
Oh, wow.
What if they say no?
Then we take it away and we head out.
No cup for you. Cup is
and then it's over, then that's the players.
Well, yeah, look, the players are good. And they understand the rules. There's, you know, like, look, you look at other sports, they don't let their trophies outside of the glass case. I mean, this is the most prestigious trophy and the most recognized trophy in the world. And, you know, it's got rules and respect to it and regulations. And it's so, yeah, there's certain things that there are certain rules that the players have to abide by, too.
How often is it dropped?
Not very often, honestly. In the odd accident every once in a while. Again, it doesn't hide behind glass. It's 126-year-old. Yeah, there's some nicks and bangs on it, but for how old it is and how much it parties, it does all right.
What's the worst nick you got on it? Like, what's the most damage that has happened to the cup since you've had it? Or since you've known about it? Not even since you've had it, but like, but that you know of with this cup, damage?
I mean, I remember a certain player fell off the stage one time, and he hit a table, and it was this nick right here.
Ah, Thornton, what are you doing?
That wasn't John Strong, he can hold it.
Okay, oh, so that's the nick right there.
Yeah, it was actually a lot bigger. We were able to pound it out. That was as good as we were able to get it, but it was an accident.
Most interesting thing you've seen put inside the cup?
I've seen everything from obviously beer, champagne, ice cream sundae, cereal, spaghetti and meatballs, poutine, which is French fries, cheese curds and gravy.
It's disgusting. Poutine's the worst.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
It's no good. You have to be Canadian to enjoy it.
Now, are people are civilians allowed to touch the cup?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Real? Oh, I don't know. I've never touched it.
Yes, you have. You haven't touched it?
Nope.
All the time it's in the studio?
Yep.
We have a Christmas card when they won the cup. They actually let me put my son's, who is like, you know, 6 months old, rear end inside the cup.
Yep.
Which was...
It's a great photo. It's great when your son gets a lot older and you show him.
Oh, it's awesome.
I have a picture of me and my son with the cup back in 2011, but I didn't know you were allowed to touch it.
Would you like to touch it?